This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Well, I'm in my car and I don't have my normal headset, so the introduction and the conclusion of this might sound a little bit different. I'm trying to cut back some of the background noise as much as I can, and I will do my best. This is going to be a little bit shorter show than you're normally used to, just because I've been very busy this week, but I got together with Ben Branham, pretty much the unofficial co-host of the Handgun World podcast, probably my most frequent guest. Either Ben or John Hadaway have been on here more than anybody else. I don't know which one. John Payne's a close second. But anyway, Ben and I got a chance to talk a little bit about, you know, cheating. Can you cheat? And it's more or less a beginner's or an advanced level of... I didn't put that right. Are you a beginner or are you advanced? An advanced shooter's or advanced trainers, people like that, they know how to cheat better, and that's basically if you're not cheating, you're not winning the fight. That's my firm belief anyway. And again, if it's gone to a gunfight, well then, you know what? It's a really bad day and you better know how to win it. And then of course, then you got another battle after the fight, which is your legal battle, but that's a whole different story. So Ben and I got together after a range session where we were actually training each other, kind of cool. We had a chance to go to a range and spend some time, pay the fee, and train each other and shoot some videos for our Shooters Club while we were doing it. So here you go. Here's my interview with Ben Branham. Basically, it's called Can You Cheat?
Whenever you see big city mayors campaigning for gun control, rows of uneasy-looking police officers are forced to stand behind the mayors. The reason our police friends are uneasy is they don't buy into the mayor's political scam. The president of the Black Police Caucus said his members believe there should be no gun rationing, and nearly 100% of their membership thinks criminals are able to obtain guns through illegal means. Likewise, 94% of the National Association of the Chiefs of Police believe that citizens should be able to purchase firearms for self-defense and sporting purposes. Maybe this is why billionaire New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg called the 32,000 member Fraternal Order of Police a fringe group, because unlike Michael, cops know who the good guys are, namely you, not Bloomberg. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Well, I'm with Ben Branham. We're at a place to shoot in San Antonio. Welcome back, Ben.
Great to be here. It's been a while since we've actually done a podcast together, and we just got off the range shooting, and we had so much fun.
Yeah, we just, you know what, we just got off the range filming a bunch of stuff for our Shooters Club. We filmed a lot of AR-15 material. We filmed some basic team tactics, and we also filmed some different ways, different positions, and we also filmed how to zero a rifle, how to bore sight a rifle, and how to zero a rifle with an optic on it.
So we had so much fun, you guys. And then I do want to mention real quick, shooting is a lot of fun. Filming shooting, not so much fun. You got to stop there. I swear we put like 3 rounds downrange in this. Okay, let's set up the camera.
Yeah, doing video is not much fun. Those of you who are members of our Shooters Club, we hope you like it. We think you're going to enjoy it quite a bit. We just sweated our butts off, and it wasn't much fun to make it for you, so I think you're going to like it.
So if you hear us panting a little bit, that would be why. I'm trying to suck down some water while we're sitting here.
We did some. We also filmed some handgun stuff. We filmed how to enter a room, how to shoot around, how to shoot through a doorway with both pistols and AR-15s.
But we thought we'd get here and talk a little bit about the difference between advanced and beginner techniques, and what is there a difference? Is what is it? And blah blah blah, and all that stuff. People always want to say they're advanced. Everybody says they're advanced. And I say that there really isn't a lot of advanced stuff out there. There sure as heck ain't anything new under the sun. Everything that Bob and I have been teaching in all these classes and on this podcast, quite frankly, I learned somewhere else. If I could remember where I learned all the techniques, I would give credit to every person that taught me something. The problem is I've had so many great instructors over the years through the military, law enforcement, and in the civilian world. I have no idea who taught me what technique.
Well, and I'd like to throw in, too, that really the difference between beginning and advanced is, as they always say, advanced is the perfect application of the fundamentals, or a really good application of the fundamentals.
Which is probably a good way to put it. It's exactly doing those fundamentals and knowing everything. It's an intimate understanding of all the fundamentals. Do you really understand sight picture, sight alignment, trigger squeeze, breath control, grip, stance, and all that other stuff? And then can we apply that in different situations?
Yeah. So let's start with beginning training. For some of you listening, I know you've come to the Suarez International class that I taught called Combat Pistol Marksmanship. And that's pretty much... That's the beginning stuff. We know we didn't do any movement. We concentrated on a good sight picture, good fundamentals, breath control, grip, stance, alignment, all that stuff. That's the beginning stuff, right, Ben?
Yeah, and that's what you. And then there's the intimate understanding of all that. I can explain it and tell you the seven fundamentals real quick. You can Google it and come up with the seven fundamentals, and then you can back, kind of like we are right now. But do you really understand? Do you know what it feels like? Do you know what it is? Do you know exactly where your thumbs are? Do you know what kind of pressure you should have on your gun? I just read an article that says, Gun Nuts Media, I like Caleb over here. There, he's a smart ass, and he's right up my alley. But he just wrote something about nothing is ever correct. And he goes, thumbs up, that's wrong. Thumbs down, that's wrong. Thumbs forward, that's wrong. That's the wrong gun. That's the wrong caliber. And it was just kind of a smart thing, but...
That's a good point.
My thing is that you know exactly where you're doing it and why. There is, once you figure out that point, now we can step into the advanced techniques. You need to know why I shoot thumb forward, or I need to know why I shoot thumbs up, or I need to know why I shoot thumbs down. I shoot thumbs forward. It's a competition thing. I've just gotten really good at it, and I do it because I can control the gun the best. I shoot isosceles because I shoot on the move, and the thumbs forward, it lets me lock in that isosceles position better and be able to move the gun better. So I can tell you exactly why I shoot thumbs forward. If you can't tell me exactly why you're doing something, you don't understand it enough to be the expert at it.
I shoot thumbs forward, and I learned that in competition, and I've gotten good at it. But I got to say, when I went to Mag 40, Masada, you've taught the crush grip, and the crush grip, I was making that work. And, we used the different positions. We used isosceles, Weaver, and Chapman stance in that class as well. And I shot a 298 in that class, so... that was pretty darn good with all the different positions and things and the cover crouch. A lot of that, I would say, is those are the basics you've got to get down pat before you can move to the advanced. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I'm laughing at the Chapman because all I'm thinking is, gosh, Masada's getting old. Mass, you're old.
People hey, well, you know, Chapman. but I'll defend it a little bit. Yeah, it's an old technique, but I'll defend it. The Chapman stance has its got its use.
And, why don't you explain that for everybody real quick? Because,
well, thanks for putting me on the spot, Ben. okay, the Chapman stance is named after Ray Chapman, another influential shooter. And basically, it's kind of hard to do this on an audio podcast. I'm going to put a link to the Chapman stance in the show notes. You'll see a picture of it. Now, those of you listening who have been to Mag 40, you know what I'm talking about. Basically, what you've got is if you can picture a person and the dominant hand is extended so that it's straight and the elbow is locked. So you got your dominant hand out, okay, your elbow is locked, and you'll see that the support hand has got the elbow bent. So the support hand is on the gun and the elbow is bent and tucked into the body just slightly. And then you're going to drop your dominant foot back just a little bit. So if you picture an isosceles, you're squared up, you're going to drop your dominant foot back a little bit, and you're going to bring that support hand, and you're going to kind of, I would say, bend the elbow, cock the elbow, however you want to call it, and you've still got your dominant hand extended. The nice part about this is, if any of you have ever taken any point shooting classes, you learn to use your forearm as an index point. Well, when you're in the champman stance, it's pretty easy to do that. And yes, you're getting sighted fire, but if you also ever have to fire when you're not sighted, if you got a nice locked wrist, you can use that forearm as an index point too. But hopefully that's, you know, it's kind of hard to demonstrate, to talk about it on audio, but I'll put a picture of it, but that's kind of like the Chapman stance.
Nobody even uses it anymore. It's kind of weird. Everybody's gone to the modified Weaver or now isosceles, and I shoot isosceles because I like to move.
Yeah.
It allows me to square up to the target, thumbs forward, and allows me to move a lot easier than the Chapman or the Weaver, because the Weaver, I've got to be bladed towards my target. It's hard to move straight down the range when my body's bladed towards the target.
Yeah,
I can't move forward and I can't move back.
I find it hard to move when I'm bladed. The thing I want to say to beginners is learn all these stances, because when you go to an advanced class, you have to shoot from a lot of unconventional positions. I mean, you have to shoot when your body is twisted and contorted in all these different ways, and you got to get the fundamentals down. The isosceles and the Chapman and the Weaver, you got to get those down, you know, and learn all the sight picture fundamentals, you know, front sight, press the trigger, breath control, grip, alignment, all that stuff. It all comes into play. I would suggest that you take a minimum of 2 beginning or intermediate level classes before you start some advanced training.
That's not a bad idea. And just know which one you like and know which ones you're going to use. So when you're beginning, you need to try them all. And that's the best thing about being a beginner. If you guys are new to this thing, new to the sport out here, yes, you're a beginner. And I'm going to make a lot of people mad. Most of the people that listen to the shows and stuff, they're teetering on from beginner to intermediate level shooters. And I say that because you're not an advanced shooter until you've been to 4 or 5 classes and had instructors and different instructors, not the same one, teach you different things, different techniques, to where you're really understanding them and you're really starting to apply those fundamentals in weird spots. So most everybody out there that's beginners, try all this stuff. Out on the range, you can always try all the different shooting positions. You can try the different grips and everything, even on your square range. And the cool thing about going to classes is you get to do this stuff, well, with somebody watching, and you don't have to do square range stuff. You can actually shoot and move, use barricades, shoot from the holster, double taps, all that other stuff.
So yeah, and what you just talked about there, Ben, is you talked about some intermediate and advanced classes, I would say. Most of the beginner classes, I think, don't do a whole lot of the moving and shooting and firing from different unconventional types of positions and things.
No, it's very much you need to have somebody watch you so you can learn those basics. You really got to get that stance down, the grip, sight alignment, sight picture. The most important thing with a handgun is going to be your trigger press. You got to get that down. And if you sit there with a skilled instructor, you can put 10, 20 rounds down range and really tighten up that and learn what you're doing. Whereas you, as a shooter, if you're brand new, you don't go with an instructor, you can learn it. There's no secrets here. It's not like super duper Batman secret stuff. It's just, it will take you 5, 6, 2,000 rounds to figure out what the instructor can tell you after you shoot 5 rounds.
Yeah.
So I'd much rather have the instructor sit there. And I just did this, too. I went to a course in January, and I was missing where I was mashing my trigger, and I wasn't doing my trigger control right. And he stopped me, like, in the middle of a drill, and goes, okay, look at this. Look where your finger is. And he showed me I was mashing the trigger. I had my finger a little bit off, and it had just grown as I started in the right spot. And as I continued to shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot, and nobody was watching, nobody was paying attention, it just kind of moved on me. And it wasn't until the instructor was standing right there and saw it, could stop me, show me what I was doing, talk about it, and go, okay, let's start again. So,
well, you just brought up something that I want to say to all beginners out there. Well, no, actually, I want to say this to the advanced shooters also. It's very important to get back to basics periodically. And I'm a big believer of back to basics once a year. Maybe not taking a basic class every year, but go to the range with somebody else, preferably someone who's an instructor, and for 2 hours just do nothing but the basics. The basics, the basics, the basics. Advanced shooters have a tendency to get sloppy. That's one thing I see out there. They have a tendency to get careless, sloppy. They may be mashing the trigger. They might be real sloppy with their trigger. You know, beginners, shoot to reset. I'm a big believer in that. It's why I don't like pistols that have a sloppy reset. I like pistols with a firm reset. You know, 1911s have a firm reset. Glocks have a firm reset. In the gun shop today, we were just playing around with the new XDS 9mm. I like the reset on that gun. So, you know, learning to shoot to reset and things like that, I think, is very important for beginners.
So, getting from beginners to advanced, where do we turn to the point where we're an advanced shooter? When we master those fundamentals, when we master those basics, now we're starting to get into advanced shooting. And what is advanced?
Do you ever really master the basics?
No, because we have to keep going back. And that's what happened with me, is that I had gotten my shooting position and my platform so stable that I could mash the trigger all day and still make a hit and just get away with it. And that's what was happening. I was getting away with it because I could still make a hit. So, and most of you guys, see, there's an advanced. I'm going to toot my own horn, but there's a difference between me wanting to be an advanced shooter and being a beginner. If a beginner goes, I'm making a hit, that's good enough. Or if I'm trying to move into the truly advanced level and I go, oh, I could be better. It's not just I can make a hit. And I can make a hit on just about anything, everything, anywhere you want that the pistol is capable. I'm pretty good at it. But I could be better, and that instructor was making me better. So anyways, advanced techniques. Bob and I just taught an advanced course. It was awesome last week. And what we did was we took the fundamentals and we applied it in different situations in different kind of shooting positions too. So everything was the same. We still had to press the trigger, but multiple targets while we're moving, real close-up targets, farther targets, shooting from kneeling, shooting from prone, shooting from on your back, all these different positions that everybody says advanced, shooting one-handed manipulation drills, and that's where the advanced stuff comes in, is when we get off the square range and we're no longer just shooting and pressing. Now I'm moving behind barricades. I got moving targets. I'm a moving target, and we're trying to shoot multiple targets and all this stuff. Now we're getting into the advanced stuff. But really, is it so advanced?
Well, I got to say something about advanced. You might disagree, Ben. I think I've heard you disagree before. I don't like the word advanced. I don't. I wish that courses were not called advanced, because, for number one, I think it gives people an ego. Oh, man, I'm an advanced shooter now. And they sort of, they can sometimes be unsafe. They can sometimes forget the fundamentals. And I'm throwing my hand in the air. I'm not unsafe, but sometimes I forget the fundamentals. And I throw shots off, and I sometimes miss the target because I'm not paying attention to the basics. I would rather see courses called different levels, level one, level two, level three, or even just different names for the courses. Advanced sort of seems to give people an ego. That's just my personal opinion.
And, well, there is a problem, too. I'm going to stop right here and say, if you have an ego and you say you're the greatest shooter out there and there's nobody better and you've got nothing to learn...
Bullshit! Excuse me. Sorry, my allergies are getting a hold of me. Bullshit!
You are not an advanced shooter. You are a knucklehead. Ego, we try not to get it in, and honestly, me and Bob had a situation that happened after a class last week, and I let my ego get in the way a little bit. Happens to all of us, but when you get out on the range and you want to study and you want to learn and you want to truly become an advanced student and an expert, you got to ditch the ego and learn what you're doing wrong.
Yeah,
because
really
we all got something to improve. We've all got something to make better. We've all got something to become more advanced on. And it's kind of cool. Bob has been doing this for about 5 years. I've been doing this for about 15, so I should be better than him. But he catches me doing stuff sometimes, and I can either put my ego hat on and say, hey, I've been doing this three times as long as you. You can't tell me anything. Or I can go, hey, wait, say that again? Oh, okay, I see. And now we both become better shooters and better friends and better people. So check your ego when you're trying to become an advanced shooter.
I've been doing this since 2005, so 8 years. And I got to tell you, folks, 8 years is not much. That's not much experience. I mean, there's a lot of people listening to this podcast that have been doing this a heck of a lot longer than me. And I got a lot to learn. I feel I've learned a lot, but I have a lot to learn. And that's, you know, since we are on the subject of advanced shooting, or, okay, I don't like the word advanced, higher level, you need to know that you have a lot to learn. I want you to always understand that you don't know what you don't know.
That's a great point. Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know. And just when you think you know a lot, someone knows more. And someone can teach you more. And there seems to be an endless amount of things to learn when it comes to shooting. I don't care if you're preparing for competition or if you're learning self-defense shooting. There seems to be a lot to learn always from a lot of different people. So you don't know what you don't know. Keep your mind open. I like to say your mind's like a parachute. It works best only when it's open. And drop the ego, like you said. Leave your ego in your car at the parking lot when you arrive at the shooting range.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I used to be that jerk. I tell you, I used to work with law enforcement and stuff, and I was a teenager volunteering. And I got into this when I was in high school. And I'd go to the police range, and I'd shag brass, refill magazines for them, tape targets, all that stuff. And then they'd let me shoot their drills. Well, I got to listen to everybody go through, every cop in the whole department would go through, and I'd listen to everything the instructor said. And then the instructor would let me, and he'd show me drills. And then I get to run the same thing the law enforcement was. Well, as a 16, 17-year-old, I was scoring expert on the law enforcement range and making some of their guys look really, really bad. And it was kind of fun to do as I got older. I got to start when I was in high school and learn all this stuff. And then I'd step on ranges, and it was guys would go out, oh, I could shoot this, blah, 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 blah. And they'd be all mad that I could outshoot them. And anybody with an ego, if you come out on my range, I'll probably make you look stupid just because you pissed me off when you have your ego. Or I'll get another student that I know that can outshoot you really bad, and I'll put him next to you, and then I'll have him or her outshoot you really bad just to make you look bad. So I used to do that. I've been doing this for a long time, so I saw it with cops too. That's one thing I learned is when the ego comes in, those guys didn't learn jack. And the ones with the biggest ego are the ones that had the most problems qualifying on the range.
And they're the hardest ones to teach.
And they were the worst ones. I mean, they didn't get to see. And the way the law enforcement does is they bring one cop in at a time to qualify. And nobody else got to see the course of fire, which kind of cool. And it was kind of like an IDPA course of fire. They did pretty good. But, yeah, they never saw what the other guy saw. So the guy with the ego always thought he was the best shooter in the department, couldn't understand why his scores were just barely qualifying, and he would just say, well, I outshot everybody else.
Yep.
And then I even think one time they had me shoot it in front of one of the guys with the ego as a 16-year-old, and I made the cop look bad. So they did the same thing. That's probably where I learned that trick is when somebody has an ego for them. But, you know, I'd shot. And to his detriment, I got to say that I had shot that course of fire like 5-6 times that day, and he walked off of the street dry and shot it. So they never told him that. But that's probably where I got that ego trick is right there. So you got to learn that. Where's their advance? Where's it to surf, drop that ego, open your mind to learn something new? And there's all these tools in the toolbox, and here's where we start to get more advanced too. I talked about knowing the fundamentals perfectly. Now, with all the advanced stuff, we start to go more and more in classes, we learn more and more things. The different grips, thumb up, thumbs up, thumbs forward, people got different things. Some people do the isosceles grip, or the isosceles stance. Some people do the Weaver stance. The Chapman is kind of out of vogue. It hasn't been around for a long time. That's why I said Mass is getting old, because he's still teaching that.
Hey, it works though.
And hey, as long as you can make hits. And then what works for you? And then it becomes a system of everything working together. I went to a course where they taught thumbs up. You got to shoot thumbs up. Got to shoot thumbs up. I had to stop myself every time I drew the pistol and put my thumbs up and to work the thing. But it was a system of how it all worked. When you went to position Sewell, because your thumbs were together, I rotate the pistol down, my thumbs are still together. I bring the pistol up, thumbs are still together. When I rack the slide over the top, slide the thumb in there. When I slide all my thumbs together, because you shot thumbs up and your thumbs were all always together, that's how they referred you to get back to that shooting position from wherever you went.
Yep.
So it's a system, and everything starts to work together.
And if any of you have ever taken any of the Suarez International courses, they introduced Sewell in the close-range gunfighting. Ben and I took point shooting progressions with Roger Phillips, and we used Sewell quite a bit in that position, in that class as well, for doing the after-action assessments. And, you know, this is the stuff that is more intermediate or advanced level stuff, maybe I should say intermediate, and kind of that next level. So I think we've covered a little bit. What else did you want to say about advanced shooting, Ben?
It's applying
the... Or there's that bad word, advanced, again.
It really is applying the fundamentals under different stresses in different locations in different ways. I talked about doing the different positions. If somebody knocks you to your back, pulls a knife on you and says, I'm going to gut you like a fish, can you draw your weapon from your back, shoot them while putting your feet up to keep them off of you, or can you backpedal on your back and still continue to fire?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, I'm looking at, there's the fundamentals. I still got to sight alignment, sight picture, press the trigger. I still got to get a hit. Back to the old thing, as long as I get a hit. But now that I'm laying on my back, things change. The recoil impulse changes. Somebody's moving. He's moving around me, trying to get up towards my head. I got to move on him. And so that's what I'm talking about. There's your advanced techniques, is putting yourself in different positions.
Yeah, and for purposes of this podcast, okay, I'll keep using the word advanced. You know, in the advanced courses, you'll incorporate a lot of movement. You know, you'll incorporate a lot of movement. You'll be moving diagonally. You'll be moving laterally. Sometimes you'll be retreating. In point shooting progressions, we incorporated moving both ways. You know, I mean, a lot of, in shooting in unconventional positions, you know, you're going to be shooting from retention. You're going to be shooting, you know, sometimes at the compressed contact ready. Sometimes you're going to be shooting, you know, just below line of sight. Things like that. That's what you're going to do kind of at the next level. You're going to be doing a lot of movement and shooting. Because, let's face it, I'm going to ask everybody who's listening a question right now. Just think about this in your mind. Somebody pulls a gun on you, do you really want to stand still? Do you really want to stand there and let them shoot at you? Or do you want to be moving? I think you're going to be moving like a bat out of hell, because you're going to want to, first of all, get out of their line of fire. Right? Ben, you're not going to stand there, do you?
No, I'm going to move.
You know, unless you got cover. Now, if you got cover and you can get behind cover, well, then you might be stationary. But, Ben, you're a veteran of gunfights. Do you want to stay still or you want to move?
No, it sucks. Move. And honestly, all your instincts are going to come in. When rounds are coming in over your head, you're going to duck. When they say get into that crouch, don't worry about it. When a round snaps by over your head, you're going to go, oh, crap, and you're going to try to be like a turtle and tuck your head below your shoulders. So that won't be a problem. You're gonna try to hide in your own skin, or hide behind your shirt, whatever you can. You're gonna be willing yourself to be smaller. So, anyway, so you're gonna have these. Then you're gonna have those weird positions, right? If I duck or if I hit the ground and compress myself all the way down on one knee and I'm hiding behind my knee pretty much and my elbow, now I'm in a weird shooting position. I still got to make a hit.
Yeah. You know, in some of the more advanced courses, you'll learn things like how to properly enter a room, how to properly shoot through a doorway or shoot through a window. You know, the proper use of movement around barricades and things like that. You know, and think about it. For those of you that use a handgun for home defense, you know, do you really know what to do inside your house? I mean, you might think you do, but how many of us live in houses where we really have cover? We really don't. I don't think there's much in people's homes anymore that will stop a bullet. You may have concealment, but you don't really have cover. So, you know, unless you got concrete walls in your house. So do you know what to do in those situations?
Yeah, and do you stack your... And then as we think more and more advanced, I used to have a bookcase outside my master bedroom because that's where it fit. It looked good.
That might be cover.
And then I would fill it up with books. It was full of books, like falling over full of books.
Well, that might be cover then, actual cover.
I created my own cover to cheat. So, yeah. And it, there you
but
go.
But what if you can't get behind that bookcase? Do you know what to do?
And my old buddy used to say about gunfighting and stuff, if you're not cheating, you're not trying hard enough. So, cheat.
Cheat. And do you know how to cheat? You know, I guess that's kind of, you know, that might be the main point of this podcast. I don't know. I might even name it that. You know, do you know how to cheat? When you're fighting, if you're not cheating, you're not winning, and the best cheater wins.
Yeah. And then, I teach a three-point or a three-step draw because I want that muzzle on the target as fast as possible. You know why? Because I cheat. I will actually be pressing the trigger as the gun is coming up.
So as long as it's pointed safely downrange.
Yep. Step one, grab the gun. Step two, rock it out into that speed rock content. What do they call it? IDPA calls it a speed rock or a retention position.
Something like that. And retention position.
Let's go back to the Cowboys. It's shooting from the hip. Once you get into that position, as long as my muzzle's on target, as I bring the gun up and my hands meet, I'm pressing the trigger already.
And at close distance, that's important.
And it doesn't really matter. I could touch off a round while I'm trying to get my gun up to the sights, or the really advanced stuff, and you'll see the advanced shooters, if they're shooting a double extreme gun and they're doing IDPA and stuff, they're pressing the trigger, and they've taken up all the slack on the trigger, and as soon as they see the sights, that round breaks.
Yeah.
They're cheating, and it's a way to cheat. And, you know, exactly. Unless you go to courses and stuff and you're taught that stuff, you know, I was taught that a long, long time ago. That was like 1990-something. I was taught that one. But, yeah, as the gun is coming up out of the holster, you get – and that's – hey, that's those fundamentals. I've got to be able to get that gun, that muzzle on target. Doesn't matter.
Now, I want to make sure that I say this. If you're going to practice this stuff, you better be safe. No trigger, no fingers on the trigger, no booger hooks on the bang switch until that gun is pointed safely downrange.
Until you intend to fire.
Until you intend to fire. You know, but there's a, I guess what we're trying to say here is, you know, you're not always going to have the opportunity in a fight to get on your sights.
And you don't know what you don't know. If you haven't heard that trick before, you know, you don't know what you don't know. That may or may not work for you. If you shoot a 1911, please don't do that trick. You're going to shoot yourself on the foot. If you shoot a double action SIG, that trick can work very, very well for you. And it comes from revolver guys. I mean, it's back there 50, 60 years ago. People wrote books on it. But same thing with our Glock. I do it with my Glock because there's a lot of slack there to pick it up before that first shot. And I used to shoot a SIG 226, and I'd have that thing. Yeah, I'd come out of the holster speed rock, and I have that hammer halfway back as my hands are meeting. And then when my hands meet, I've got that thing all the way back. You'd see the hammer all the way back. And I had one instructor taught me how to do it, and on that same range of that same class, one instructor is screaming at me, freeze, cease fire. And I stop right there, and I let my finger off the trigger like I'm supposed to and just freeze. And he starts screaming at me, make me holster the gun, drags me off to scream at me how unsafe I was. And then the other instructor comes up and goes, no, that's what I was telling him to do. So it's kind of funny. You get guys that don't understand what's going on, but there's that advanced technique, you know, where are you in that shooting stuff? And,
yeah.
And could I ever do that technique safely if I didn't have an instructor to teach it to me? No, I'd never be able to get that safe.
Yeah.
I need somebody watching me to make sure that that muzzle is on target before I touch that trigger. And if you try to do it without an instructor, there's where you... Me and Bob are instructors. We want you to come to our classes. But if you don't, go to somebody else's class because you can learn so much. If you want to step into that from that beginner level to the advanced level, you're going to have to go to courses. You're going to have to get instruction.
Yep.
And if you're an instructor out there, do what I do. Like, do what I used to do overseas. We were all instructors. We were all experts and stuff. We would go out on the range different days, and it would be like, okay, Mike, today you're the instructor. Pick something. Teach. And then we'd run drills around that. And then, hey, Ben, today you're the instructor. Pick something, teach. And we run drills around that. So we teach each other.
Yep.
So if you guys are super advanced guys, you know you hang out with other instructors. You know, if you're an advanced shooter and an instructor, you know you hang out with other instructors. So trade each other. Go to the range, trade each other time. And Bob, you and I need to do that more often.
We do.
We should pick stuff and train each other more.
Yeah. Well, we did a little bit of that today. You know, we did some training of each other today filming these videos. You know, I learned some things actually I didn't know. You know, fighting with an AR-15, you taught me some stuff on that. So next time I need to do some instruction for you.
And if you truly want to, and here's your next step for advanced shooters too. Military guys may know this, is now you need to do it together.
Yes.
So you need to be able to work as a team. And it gets really rough trying to do that, trying to know what the other person's thinking, trying to move as one. Yeah.
Well, you brought up a good point, Ben. And as we close this segment, in advanced shooting, in advanced training, I think you need a training partner. I really do. As a beginner, you probably don't need a training partner, but I think you need to find somebody who's willing to train with you and make them your training partner. Because then that way you can watch each other, critique each other, maybe video each other. If you can find a way to get some range time or even come to a training class, come with a training partner. I mean, I think it's a pretty good idea, don't you?
Yeah, or meet somebody at the training class.
And ask them if they want to, you know, team up with you for that class.
And then go practice afterwards, you know, go to dinner. There's always people. And I tell you, if you go to a class, take advantage of everything. That means talking to everybody there. If they go out to dinner with them, hang out with them while they're there, hang out with the instructors. When I went to that course in January, I asked the instructors, because I knew they were staying from out of town, where are you guys going to breakfast? Can I meet you? And so I was the only student that showed up for breakfast, but I don't care. I get to hang out with the instructors. You know,
Well, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Hang out with the instructors for breakfast or dinner.
Or lunch or whatever, wherever they're going, whatever you can knowledge you can suck from them, and then hang out with the other students too, because there's where you'll find a really good training partner. Because a guy, if you want to go to a class and you pick a class, he goes to the same class, you're already thinking the same, and then you're in the same area unless he travel. You know, the other person, he or she traveled. I should start using he or she.
Yes.
If I say he, I mean he or she. There's a lot more ladies getting involved in this, and there are some tremendous shooters that are female shooters. So the person... Pick somebody and just you start forming that relationship. Be a shooting buddy.
Speaking of tremendous female shooters, a couple years ago when I shot at the Double Tap Championship, the USPSA match where Steve and Rick from the Power Factor show, quick shout out to them, we had a chance to meet Athena Lee. She was at that that event, and there's just some. She's one of them. She's one of the many great female shooters out there. So. Yes, we're talking about he's or she's when we talk about this.
Yeah, I don't want to alienate anybody.
Well, good. Good stuff, Ben. Thanks. I appreciate it.
No problem. Having a blast.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time. In closing, there are some voicemails that have recently come in. I promise I'll cover those next week. Next week's episode is going to be about dry fire practice. So I'll give you some good tips on that because somebody called in a voicemail about that, about dry fire practicing. So I'm going to cover that. Don't forget about our Shooters Club. If you haven't signed up for the Shooters Club, you can head on over to handgunworld.com. $75 a year. You get a great membership, a lot of good content, a lot of new stuff coming out the rest of this year. So get signed up. We have some new classes to announce. I'll just let you go over to Handgun World and check it out. New classes announced that we're going to be teaching. So check that out. Some four-hour classes and some one-day courses. So head on over there. Thank you to all of you who have been buying off of my Amazon store. If you wish to support this show and you're going to make a purchase on Amazon, why not just do it on my Handgun World site? You'll see my Amazon store. If you want to buy Glenn Tate's book, by the way, the 299 Days series, any of them, you can go to my recommended books section. If you want to buy C.R. Williams' book on gunfighting, you can go over to my recommended books page at Handgun World. I appreciate it if you do that. It will give me credit that I can use to help keep everything going for the Handgun World show. And you know what? The whole thing here about my podcast doing this is to bring you guys some good information, and it also helps support the show. Remember that I do not have any paid sponsors, so this show is supported entirely by people who come to the training classes, people who join the Shooters Club. I've got some great drawings coming up July 4th. The second round of drawings, I'm giving away 250 rounds of 9mm full metal jacket practice ammo and two tickets to any of the classes that Ben and I teach throughout the rest of 2013. So a lot of good stuff that you can win. More Shooters Club giveaways coming the end of the year. And everybody, not just the new people, but everybody who is a member gets entered into the random drawings. So with all that said, I want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Remember that the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. By the way, somebody in a class didn't press check their pistol, and they didn't have a round chambered. So when I told them to start and to fight, guess what they heard? They heard that click when they were expecting a bang. And let me tell you, that's a loud sound. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll catch you next week. Goodbye.